Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
I'd like to begin our study together today by a consideration and a couple of comments on the first five verses of the book of John. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. There the Bible reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." There's the Apostle John, inspired of the Holy Spirit, speaking about the deity of Jesus Christ. Indeed, Christ reflects every aspect of divinity. He is God. The unequaled and unprecedented influence of Jesus Christ on the lives of mankind is one of the strongest evidences that indeed Christ is divine. Did you know that in less than 50 years after the death of Jesus on the cross, a congregation of His people was established in every major city of the Roman Empire? Reference, if you would, Colossians 1 and verse 23 to verify that fact. "If indeed you continue," Paul wrote, "in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." Note in that verse, Paul said that the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. The Lord even had disciples in the household of Caesar. In Philippians 4 and verse 22, we read, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." I want you to listen to what a Pharisee said as recorded in John 12 and verse 19. You know, the Pharisees were bitter enemies of Jesus. There we read, "Look, the world has gone after him." A frustrated remark by the Pharisees concerning the influence of Jesus. No one has ever begun to influence the world like Jesus Christ. I want you to listen, if you would, to a tribute paid to Jesus that I find especially inspiring. This is an author I don't know the name of, but certainly you'll see as we read it the importance and the impact that such a life brings upon the world. The article goes like this. "Here is a young man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries wide have come and gone, and today he's a central figure of the human race, the leader in the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, and all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth, as has that one solitary one. Indeed, the impact of the influence of Jesus Christ, past and present, is phenomenal. I'd like to spend some time looking and breaking down that influence. And as you and I see the influence of Jesus, we'll recognize even more and become more convinced of His divinity. First of all, I'd like to mention the impact that Jesus had on time. Time is marked by His birth. Even infidels can't erect a building, sign a deed, sign a check, complete a mortgage, without recognizing the influence of Jesus Christ, for those dates are A.D., which means the year of our Lord. You know, before Jesus came upon the earth, time was determined in another method. The Jews marked time from creation. The Romans marked time from the building of the imperial city. The Greeks marked time from the Olympic Games. But when Jesus came, time was marked by Him. Second, the influence of Christ on law and government. Listen to what the past president, U.S. Grant, wrote. Quote, "Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts on your hearts and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book we are indebted for all the progress made in true civilization, and to this we must look as our guide in the future. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Unquote. In the World Book Encyclopedia, Volume 10, page 82, this statement is made, quote, "Democratic beliefs in equality, responsibility, and care for the weak owe much to Jesus' lessons in brotherhood and love." Unquote. Indeed, the influence of Jesus Christ on law and government is paramount. Third, look at the influence of Jesus Christ on the field of art. Many of the world's greatest masterpieces are religious in nature. Many pertain directly to Jesus Christ. Leonard da Vinci, The Last Supper. Van Dyck, Christ and the Tribute Money. Rembrandt, The Prodigal Son. And not only is Jesus' influence seen in the field of art, but also in literature. In the Library of Congress, there are many books regarding Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and Shakespeare and so on. But you put all of those together and they pale in comparison with the books that relate and deal with Jesus Christ. There would be blank pages in Tennyson, in Longfellow, in Dickens, in many, if not all, major works without Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ was also influential in music. Without Jesus, there would be no song such as Joy to the World, no song such as Tell Me the Old, Old Story, or Jesus, Lover of My Soul, or Mine Eyes Have Seen the Coming of the Lord. Influence on music. Jesus was also influential on education. Institutions established by religious people for religious purposes in our country include universities like Harvard, Yale, TCU, and others. How tragic it is when you see the results of many of those schools that they've forgotten their origin. Jesus is also influential on children. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that undermined the first century killing of babies. Seneca, who was a Stoic philosopher of the first century, wrote, "We strangle a mad dog, we slaughter a fierce ox, we plunge the life into sickly cattle, lest they taint the herd. Children who are born deformed or weakly, we drowned." Well, indeed, the part of that culture that is just diabolical. But you know, Christianity changed that. That's why it's so obvious that abortion is simply incompatible with Christianity. It's murder, isn't it? The influence of Christ is also seen on womanhood. Nowhere in the Bible is a woman a slave to man. Where the Bible is, women have been elevated over the centuries. The Bible teaches that the woman is divinely created in Genesis 1 and verse 27, Genesis 2 verses 21 through 23, Matthew 19 and verse 4, In the Bible, the woman is a complement of man, not a slave of man. Genesis 2, verses 18 through 23. In the Bible, we learn that the woman is to be honored, 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. In the Bible, God chose to have His Son become incarnate through woman, Genesis 3, verse 15, Isaiah 7, verse 14, Galatians 4, verse 4, and Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25. In the Bible, we see that man is to love his wife as his own body, Ephesians 5, verse 28 and 29. In the Bible, we see that man's wife is a gift from God, Proverbs 19 and verse 14. Isn't it strange that we have societies and groups of women now that want to get away from biblical principles, when it was biblical principles that raised them from the terrible plight that they had in life so many years ago? Jesus Christ's influence is seen on the sanctity of life. There was a former African cannibal that sat reading the Bible, and a European trader come up and said, "What are you doing?" And the cannibal said, "I'm reading the Bible." The trader said, "Well, don't you know that that book's out of date, at least in my country? We don't pay much attention to that." The cannibal said, "If it were out of date here, you'd have been dinner last night." Well, Jesus' influence is throughout culture. John Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. At first, the British government, according to history, wouldn't give him permission to go there. They said that in that location, there was the most savage people known to man, and the government just wouldn't give him a visa. Patton persisted, and finally he got approved to go, and he and his wife landed on the island, and they had an armed guard with them. The guard stood by as Patton built a house. When the house was finished, the guards left and went home. And as they were leaving, it's reported that they said, "We'll never see Patton again." And soon after that, Mrs. Patton died. The natives demanded her body, and they wanted it to have a meal, a feast. The husband, Mr. Patton, laid on the grave with a gun and a dog until the body was unedible. Then Patton worked for 30 years in that island, teaching Jesus Christ to the pagans, to the natives. Then one day, the commissioner from the British government visited to evaluate the people and make a report. And the report said the cannibals are the most advanced tribe under British authority. Well, how do you think that happened? Well, it happened through the influence of Jesus Christ. The influence of Jesus Christ is seen in the dignity of man. Slavery was so prevalent in the Roman government that a Roman Senate defeated a bill to dress slaves distinctly because the slaves outnumbered the free men. Slavery was depraved in the Roman Empire. Caesar had a gladiator show put on for his own entertainment in the arena. 600 slaves were brought in to fight wild beasts to their death. Others would have house guests. And I read one time where this one person in the Roman hierarchy had a house guest, and the guest said, "Well, I've never seen a man die." And this person just said, "Bring in a slave," and he put him to death just to show a man how someone would die. Another that I read about in the British government fed his fish slaves as he cut them up. Tarjan, 10,000 slaves versus gladiators in the Roman amphitheater. 123 days of blood is what that's called in history. Christianity abolishes slavery. Not by command. You cannot open the New Testament and read where God commanded that slavery be abolished. But you can read in Matthew 7 and verse 12, the golden rule, where we're to treat others the way we'd like to be treated. And when that's put into place, slavery is abolished. Masters and slaves are brothers, according to Philemon's the 16th verse. Jesus Christ is also influential on the home. No more is the home a place of love and safety than when the home has Jesus Christ as the centerpiece. The teaching of Jesus Christ stabilizes the home. Divine nature of the home is dealt with in Matthew, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 9. The permanence of marriage is dealt with in Romans 7, verse 1 through 4. The necessity and nature of love is dealt with in Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 33, and 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 through 13. The responsibilities of individual family members are dealt with in Ephesians 5, verse 22, through Ephesians 6 and verse 4. When a society forgets Christ, the home degenerates. I'll tell you what, when you read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, you'll see that the major cause of that fall was the decomposition of the home, the falling apart of the home. The influence of Jesus on the home is paramount. If you read Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 16 through 20, and James 3 and verse 12, you'll see that we are known by our fruits. Look at those passages in Matthew 7 and verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? These are the words of Jesus. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. In James 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh." That tells you that the basic fruit of something is going to identify the product. And when you see homes that are stable, homes that recognize the permanence of marriage, homes that have love reigning in them, when you see the individual component parts of homes taking care of their own responsibilities, that identifies that home as being one run the way Christ wants it run. Everywhere Christ, through Bible teaching, has gone, there has been positive change result, both change from a moral standpoint, from a social standpoint, from an economic standpoint, from a religious standpoint. The influence of Jesus Christ changes all of those atmospheres for the better. His influence has and continues to be paramount in all aspects of life. Now, with those things in mind, I ask you to ask yourself three questions. Why is America trying to remove every trace of Christ and His Word from government and from the school system? That's a good question, isn't it? Certainly it cannot be for the better. Second, I ask you to ask yourself, will we renew efforts to take Christ to the world so that they can be saved? The world is desperate. The world is absolute in its need for Jesus Christ. And that happens when you and I follow the directions of Christ when He said, "Go into all the world and teach the gospel to all men." Will you do that? Will you be inconvenienced to take Christ with you today? A third question, what influence has Jesus Christ in our life? Is He the Savior of my soul? Is He the pattern of my behavior? Is He my refuge in the storm? Is He my comfort in sorrow and my hope in despair? Last night in Phoenix, we had some significant rainstorms. 3 inches of rain fell in parts of the valley. And when that happens in Phoenix with our drainage system, there becomes a flood. I talked to a friend of mine in the East Valley this morning, and I asked him if things there were okay. And we talked about the fact that the animals were even pairing up. There was so much water. Well, there was a big storm. And there'll be consequences of that storm for several days. There'll be people that try to cross flooded washes, and their cars will be swept away, and even life will come into harm's way if this storm is like many other storms. What about the storm of life? Is Jesus Christ with you in your storm of life? He can bring you comfort. He's your only hope in despair. is his coming and the hope of spending eternity with him the guiding star of your life? When you wake up in the morning, are you thankful for Jesus Christ? When you go to bed at night, are you thankful for Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ came. He lived a life upon the face of the earth, not because he had to, because he's God. Jesus Christ came from heaven to live, to teach, and to die on the face of the earth as a man for you and for me. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. He is our only hope for salvation. The book of Hebrews talks about the Word of God being sent in various ways, in various times. Look, if you would, in Hebrews, the first chapter in verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the world. Long ago, Jesus Christ was presented to mankind as a shadow. The great prophets of the Old Testament, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, Ezekiel, all of the prophets of the Old Testament, talked about a Messiah, prophesied a Messiah to come and to save people. Well, that was misunderstood by the Jews, and they were looking for a physical Savior. But Jesus came not to save us physically, but to save us spiritually. Jesus Christ came that we might live in eternity with God. Jesus Christ never lost control. When Jesus Christ came to the face of the earth, he came to die for our sins. After Jesus Christ died, he ascended back to heaven. And I want you to think about John, the 14th chapter, for a moment as you begin your Lord's Day. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Right there you see that Jesus is concerned about us. He doesn't want us to be troubled. He doesn't want the weight of life, the weight of cares to bog us down so that we cannot concentrate on him. He continues to say in John 14, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way that I am going." Jesus Christ is preparing for us a place. Let me ask you a question. Is there anyone in your wildest imagination that you'd rather have preparing for you a place than Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus is going to come again. And when he comes, there'll be the great judgment. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, in verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." How about you? Do you do the will of your Father who is in heaven? Jesus said in the book of John, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." That's the pecking order of a Christian. Certainly we love Jesus. We love him because he loved us first. That's what the Bible says. We exhibit that love by keeping his commandments, not because we have to, because we want to. We understand that Jesus' way is the best way. Jesus is concerned for us. And that concern is the very focal point of his life and of his death. I love so much considering with you, thinking with you about Jesus. And I hope that one of these days you'll come and join with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ as we worship God, as we worship Jesus Christ, as we partake of the Lord's Supper and think about the death of Jesus and what it means to us. We do that every first day of the week. Will you come and participate with us in first century Christianity? Give us a try. Give us a look. Bring your Bible. Compare what you see at the Monte Vista Church of Christ with what the Bible says should be the component parts of worship. If you find that we do things not authorized by the Bible, if you'll bring those to our attention, we'll change them because we want to go to heaven. We believe in Colossians 3 and verse 17 It tells us that in all we do, in word or deed, we should do so with the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what we try to do. Well, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. I pray that each one of us this week have unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.